Hey, there we go. How you doing?
Of course. Pretty good. All good.
So,
Tired. Some of us are tired coming back from clinic.
yeah, what it's 8 o'clock there right now, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Kind of late. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time right now. I know it is a little bit late. It's 9:04 here, but there's no
Yeah.
better time than the present to try and get some questions answered. Do you want me to just run through like what the steps are as far as applying it?
Go ahead and give us a just a brief overview intro about yourself, and then we can kind of like jump in and ask questions.
Sure. Okay. So over about myself,
Yeah.
right now I'm in private practice on Long Island in New York, and I've been here for a few months. I just graduated oral surgery residency in June at NYU. It's NYU Bellevue, if you look at it on like the pass application thing. I went to Stony Brook Dental School before that. That's on Long Island in New York. And then before that, I went to undergrad first at NYU Tandon School of Engineering. That was NYU Poly at the time. And then I graduated the second 2 years of undergrad. I was at Stevens Institute of Technology. It's an engineering school. I'm not even an engineer. I did like the basically biochem path. But I took one gap year in between, and I worked for an oral surgeon, a shadow dentist, I don't know, a couple of lifeguarding jobs. Yeah, so that's kind of where it came from the background, the little pathway. And yeah, I think I did the 4 year residency, not the 6 year. It's funny, I just got off a call an hour ago with Dr. Qureshi. He was the program director at Case Western for 23 years, I believe, and he's big in cosmetics as well. And so we were just talking about differences between 4 and 6 year tracks. So I'm excited to bring that to the conversation today, what we were talking about in our conversation over there. But yeah, I'd like to really get into like a Q&A session, because I want to be able to answer your questions directly, any on a personal level, because everyone's in different pathways. How many people here are D1s, D2s, D3s?
I'm a D1 right now.
D1, Stephanie, nice to meet you. Who's a D?
I'm a D.
Hey, Ellie, how's it going?
You too.
Sean's a D2, so we got two D2s. Okay. Everyone else is a D3?
I'm a D3, yeah.
D3.
Got it. So mostly
Yes,
four
I'm a
D1.
D1.
Okay, two D1s. I didn't see the name there, but that was fast. Okay. So we got two D1s, two D2s, and the rest D3s. Maybe a couple more, give or take. Got it. So mostly D3s. You guys are in your final state. We'll just what I would recommend immediately right now. So right now you're starting with your D3 year. By at this point, you should have hopefully taken the CBC at least once. If not, it's not too late. That's fine. The time I got the score I needed, I took the exam 3 times. I studied for it twice, and it was that last time that I really got the score I kind of needed, quote unquote, for the application. That was in the middle of D3 year. So you guys are just at the beginning of D3 year. Plenty of time. All right. It's November now, so hopefully you're studying for it. You really need a crunch, especially on top of score right now. But it's not too late. For the D2s, I would really, really get down managing clinic on top of classes, because the sooner you could get that down, then you start to add on CBSE studying on top of clinic, on top of classes. If you are a D3 and you did get your CBSE out of the way, I would start looking into externships. Get those externships in. You want to have those on your application by the time you apply, and do externships at REACH schools, not safety schools, not programs that you expect to get an interview at. Shoot for the moon. It's going to look good on your resume. And if you don't expect to get an interview from there, it can't hurt, right? It can only help. Maybe you do really good. You vibe with the attendings. You get along with the residents. You just get yourself an interview at a place you didn't expect. Bingo. That's what it's all about, right? If you're a D1, efficient and effective studying. Everyone's in a tough undergrad. I know. Now you're in dental school. It's the equivalent of about a 32 credit semester. It is. Okay. That's what they say. And it's true. And if you don't believe it yet, it's November. Just wait. Efficient and effective studying, right? Effective studying is obvious, right? C's to B's to A's. Efficient studying is maintaining those A's, but studying less and less and less. Why is that important? Because once they add on clinic, you're going to have less time to study. You have time all day to study right now. You got classes all day, I know, but then you go study. Pretty soon it's going to be classes and clinic, and then you go study. And then it's CBSE and clinic and classes. So the quicker you learn that efficient part of the studying, that's what you need to worry about right now in D1 year. I didn't figure that out till D2 year. I didn't. D2 year is when I started to figure out the question answer thing. And then at later D2 year, I figured out Quizlet is how I can get the really good pace. Guys, now we got ChatGPT, we got Grok. You can make those question answers on an entire PowerPoint or PDF in like 3 minutes. It'll give you all the questions you need, copy and paste it to Quizlet, and now you're actually studying the entire thing. I was dicking around making the Quizlet index cards question answer from scratch back in dental school. So guys, we got to utilize technology. I would not write everything out. If you're a D1, you're still thinking about writing everything out to study. That's how I did in undergrad. It's too slow. We got to upgrade. We have technology available to us, Quizlet. I think there's like a brain Scape or something. I don't know what it is, but the point is you could find stuff that's out there. We have AI. Use it to your advantage. All right. So that's just a quick off the top of my head little spiel here. Let's get into a Q&A segment. Let's fire it off. All right.
I was curious about 4-year and 6-year path. Beyond that, is there any fellowships that you are interested in, or is it just now that you want to do private practice? Or is there any fellowships available for OMFS too?
There are some great fellowships. I was just talking about the cosmetic fellowship with Dr. Qureshi. And it sounds really great. I don't know. I wasn't really ever interested in cosmetics. I really like the deeper level bones, putting it back together. I think trauma is a lot of fun. Working in the hospital, I found to, unfortunately, I didn't think it was a lot of fun. I didn't like working in the hospitals. There's so much politics, the bureaucracy of working all the way around there, rules and regulations. And most of them are great, but it gets to the point where they just keep adding on rules and regulations and who's making those rules and regulations. It's not an oral surgeon. It's probably not a surgeon either. It's probably not even a doctor. It's like, anyway, you get where I'm going with this. There's too many rules, and taking the time to go work in a hospital setting, you have to take off from your office. You still have to pay your office staff. Then you go into the hospital, and then the insurance reimburses the hospital for the work that's done there. The hospital might not reimburse you anything. It's really too bad. You know, we really need to kind of revamp the healthcare system by being patient-centered again, not insurance-centered. But that's where it is right now. It is insurance-centered care. A lot of people are missing out on care. I mean, oral surgeons, we can do the orthognathic surgery. We can do the trauma surgery. We can do certain things. Look at that Len Yang with his kid right there. That's awesome. Good for you, man. That's my dream. I want to have kids one day. I've been trying to, after I finish the boards in February and then wedding and then hopefully after that. But yeah, guys, kids are good. It's good. It's a lot of work. It's worth it. Residency, a lot of work. Some of it's worth it. Just to give you a quick analogy. Yeah, the 4 or 6 years, so cosmetics is one fellowship. Another fellowship is head and neck cancer surgery. You do head and neck surgery, taking cancer out. Very big. Also one of the highest getting in litigation. A lot of litigation against people going to head and neck. Institutional jobs after that, working in an academic setting. Teaching, maybe a dean, doing research and doing your surgery. But generally head and neck surgeons don't have private practice. That you could go into private practice, but then you're doing less head and neck surgery. It's usually coupled with an institution. Then you have a regular like oral maxillofacial surgery fellowship, like the one in St. Louis. Excellent. Very good fellowship where you're doing just all broad scope, but oral surgery work, full joint replacements, TMJ, orthognathics, trauma everywhere, infections, just everything from top to bottom. That sounds like a really excellent fellowship. They're actually looking for someone next year, but I'm not trying to put in a plug for them. Does that answer the question, Stephanie? Or did you want to get into 4 versus 6 or?
No, that answers my question. So I was just curious beyond OMFS, what else there. Yeah. I am also curious about what you see more day to day and what you are kind of specializing within OMFS.
Sure. Specializing within OMFS. I mean, I'm kind of one of the few people that I like to make social media content. I like to market. I like to mentor people to create a brighter future for it. And I'd really like to bring together the community of just in general, just dentistry. I think I bring, you know, a different type of content, a different type of podcasting, a different type of. So one of my niches I'm doing there, this has nothing to do with oral surgery. I know it's something that I'm really enjoying. And I think we can, I don't know, I'd really like to see dentistry get better, healthcare in general get better. And I think we could start with dentistry by creating a new insurance company. This is a side project I'm working on because look, we can do the same thing that everyone's been doing for decades, right? And are we generally progressing in the right direction, in a better direction? I'm not so confident we are. And I would like to see a brighter future for healthcare and dentistry. And I think it's going to be creating a new insurance company, maybe creating an attorney firm. We'll see. But for me, with an oral surgery, I really just wanted to hone into just like the sweet spot of like what I like to do. I like to do dental alveolar. I like to do all in X cases, implants, wisdom teeth, sedations, sinus lifts, bone grafting, dental alveolar, right? Just mostly around here, biopsies, sure. In New York, it's actually hard to get hospital privileges. In other states, to get hospital privileges, like your privilege to work and bring cases to the hospital, they want you to take call, whether it be 1 week in a month, 1 week, a couple weeks, a couple weekends a month, whatever it is. But most states will pay you for that. On Long Island, they don't pay you for it. So I'm finding it a big predicament where I would just be outright not even doing free work. I'd be paying to get my hospital privileges. You know, every year, the application, you got to resubmit it. And then I would go and take call for them to go and take cases to do in their hospital that they get paid for. When does this ever make sense? It doesn't. I'm like, I don't know. I've had a lot of doubts in what's going on. And now this is Long Island, New York, right? But you know, the trend is more towards things like this, like as far as politics goes and the hospital systems, healthcare. So right now, I really enjoy working in the clinic. And I would love to do big cases in the hospital. Some of these reimbursements, the insurance reimbursements, are like $500-$600 a jaw. And it takes hours and hours and hours and months to years of planning and preparation with the orthodontist and to make sure that it's picture perfect. Not only picture perfect, but functionally perfect. Phonetically perfect. The patient's got to be able to talk, right? I mean, I could go on and on, but there's a lot involved. And at this point, you know, you could fight that battle all day long. I would really like to explore solutions. And I think a realistic solution would be creating a new insurance company that actually supports providers and gains greater access for patients to get care that they need again. So that's more of like a 20, 30, maybe even 50 year endeavor, but that's a passion of mine. So you asked me where specializing within oral surgery. I love the dental alveolar. I'm going to the office, coming home at the end of the day, and we'll see about the hospital setting. But for now, after I finish the board exam, I'm really going to get feet on the ground running because I want to get my life started, but I also would like to actually see a difference made for once. And if you can't see the change, you have to create it. So yeah, that's what I think. But there's so many different, I could give you names. I could give you contacts of people. We could go into like certain areas of oral surgery that you were going to. We'll come back to you though. But Avi had a hand up. I think Noah, you wanted to ask a question. And then Steph, we will get into that because I want to know what you're interested in and how I could kind of help you get there, right? Regardless of my interests. Who's up? Noah, Avi? Yeah, Avi, what's up?
Yeah, so thank you so much for meeting with us.
Of course.
First of all, I just want to say thank you. And I have a quick question. Like in terms of the 4 and 6 year, like different types of residencies, like I've had this question for a while and I just wanted to know, like you're talking about fellowships and stuff, but is it harder to get into these fellowships if you do the 4 year? Is it significantly harder if you do the 4 year versus the 6 years? And like, would you recommend for someone who knows right off the bat that wants to do cosmetic or wants to do oncology or any of those other fellowships that you mentioned, would you recommend for that person to do the 6 year or the 4 year?
It could be looked at as being beneficial to have your MD when you're applying to a fellowship that generally takes on MDs, right? So it can be looked for beneficial. I would probably say if I was to do that, I would probably go 6 year if you're interested in a fellowship. That being said, what happens when you think you're interested in something and you've never really done it before? You don't know until you start to do it, right? You will start to do it in residency, right? So luckily the 6 year would give you some exposure into a lot of those medical sides, the surgical side, the general surgical side, you know, the medical side of healthcare. So you will get that. You'll get that in the 4 year too, right? But so is it harder? No, it's not necessarily harder. If there's something that you're passionate about and you want to do it, you have 4 years in that oral surgery residency to make it happen. And you will. You'll go to the AMIS meetings. You'll go to the, you know, national conventions of other specialties that you're interested in, whether it be cosmetics or head and neck or plastic surgery or what have you, right? Is it harder? No, but it seems to be a more fluid pathway to go from the 6 year into a fellowship, right? And if I was to go through it, if I wanted to do a fellowship, or at least I thought I wanted to, I would probably consider the 6 year more highly.
So you're not like considering fellowships at the moment?
I'm not considering fellowships. I never did consider fellowships. I was never really interested in more and more school. That's why I picked the 4 year. I picked the 4 year residency because I got plenty of exposure to it. Look, I never wanted to do further training. Like how much time? We could be in school for entire lives if we wanted to, right? And the bills just rack up and you know, you're constantly got your head in the books. And I just, my personal thoughts, I thought that life is a lot more than that because it is, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Like, how exactly did you, like, know that you wanted to pursue this? Kind of, like, a personal question, but, like, I'm having trouble with, like, so many options, like, between perio and OMFS and ortho and endo and all that stuff. And I saw, like, Penn has their own, like, perio-ortho, like, combined program. I don't know if you know that, like, it's combined perio-ortho. So I was looking into that, and, like, I honestly had no idea, like, which one, like, I started shadowing oral surgeons, perio, in private practice, perio and oral surgery is kind of like, it's very similar.
Maybe.
From what I saw. So,
what did you see?
I'm having trouble like defining, you know what I mean? The OLON4 and they like take everything out, they put that, like wisdom, like all that stuff.
The periodontist and the oral surgeon that you saw in private practice, they're both doing the OLON4. OLON4, is that what you said?
Yeah.
When things go wrong in those OLON4s, on those wisdom teeth, then where do they go? Okay. All right. Next question. No. But to think about it is the oral surgery residency is very rigorous. It's a lot of time. It's very stressful. Very little sleep. Okay. I can tell you that for a fact. But the way you manage things, you know, I did everything from head and neck cancer in my surgery to dissecting a lymph nodes to trauma to mandible fractures to maxillary fractures to the of the orbit to someone bleeding out through their mouth and needed 12 transfusions or more. So bleeding management, we learn directly and indirectly how to manage all these things, right? The other residencies don't. And it is unfortunate to see. I see many dental schools, they're losing oral surgery is being lost. They're losing their footing at the dental school. We just keep getting pulled to the hospital setting, whatever it may be. But yeah, perio is doing a lot of these procedures and it's great. It really is great. A lot of perio residencies are also accepting people who have done a GPR year, for example. If you were to go to a perio residency, I would recommend going at a VA. Why? You want to be doing implants, right? At a VA, all the implants, all of them are covered with 100% service-connected veterans. So therefore, your margin of what you can versus can't do being limited by finances of the patient becomes nullified, right? All right, and isn't that what training's all about? That being said, I could say the same thing for an oral surgery residency program. I would say, for example, ours was coupled with a VA. So perio was there, but we were there too. Who was doing the all in X's? In our VA, we were, and everything was covered. We were doing $75,000 cases. We were doing IP, you know what the IPS is? Have you heard of that one?
No, honestly not.
That's fine. IPS is basically like, it's kind of like an all in X, take out all the teeth, whatever, but they have so little bone, we're skipping over zygomatic implants, you have pterygoid implants, you have all in X's. After all that, because there's no bone, you have IPS, individualized patient solutions, whatever it is. And they slap a plate on from the zygomas across the maxilla piriform rims. And then they have little posts that stick out kind of like an all in X does right in the bottom. And then the prosthodontist hooks on full prosthesis to that. Huge, life changing. And there are no other options at that point generally, right? Perio's not doing that. That being said, I think it really comes down to the complications, right? What you want to do, but you know, something goes wrong, you don't know how to imagine it. I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of gatekeeping these days too. I saw this today with a general dentist where it's like, hey, we could do all this in one surgery right now. Can you want us to place the implants too? And they literally told me, no, I don't want you to place the implant. We have a plan for that. I know they didn't have a plan for that because I talked about it with the patient. But yeah, there's gatekeeping and I didn't do it. But it's unfortunate because you asked me what's a personal question, why I went into oral surgery, right? So this is, I'm circling back to the answer to that. When I played basketball in undergrad, and then I transferred to continue playing basketball. And the basketball phased out. And then I picked up research. And then I applied to dental school, right? And then in dental school, really the only time I saw that teamwork, that full collaborative care for patients was oral surgery on my externships. Oral surgery residents, I was with a guy all night long. I ended up graduating. It was my co-chief because he was a six-year and I was a four-year. But I spent all night with him suturing up people's faces in the emergency department. We needed to rely. I mean, he didn't need me there, right? But you rely on your other residents in the toughest of times where you haven't eaten for a day, you haven't slept in 2 days and whatever it may be. And you rely on teamwork in order to get things done, in order to survive in a way. And I wanted that like teamwork experience again. I'm seeing a lot of not like the opposite of teamwork in dentistry. And I'd really like to see it move forward. But that's what I saw on my externships. I did externships at Montefiore, NYU, and VCU. It was the COVID year. I had five scheduled, four got canceled. I add on two more in the middle of COVID that summer of 2020. And I got them in, but that's where I saw the teamwork again. And you don't have to be an oral surgeon to exhibit teamwork or to, you know, to promote teamwork. If you're a dental student, I would just say, you know, you don't have to compromise your personality to try and get to be number one in the class or get better grades than other students, right? Just because your candle, you want it to shine brighter, it doesn't mean you have to put everyone else's candle out. All right. So that's just something to remember.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate that. I really, like, I appreciate the answer, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Ali, you got one? Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I think Aaron had his hand up. So you can go next, Aaron.
Aaron, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Gallagher. How is everything?
Call me Brendan. What's going on? What's going on?
So basically, I'm currently in my gap year. I'm starting dental school in August. And I'm pretty sure that I want to specialize into oral surgery. In fact, I'm almost positive. And I wanted to see what you thought about potentially studying for the CBSC during this gap year, rather than taking time on it during dental school. Because as you said, especially when clinic starts out, it's studying and clinic on top of the CBSC. So now that I have this time, would you think that would be beneficial for me to do it so early?
I don't. I really appreciate the tenacity. You know, you're really thinking ahead. And that's a very important quality, especially for dental school, especially for oral surgery. That being said, though, what my worry is, my concern is if you start studying it for this year, you're going to miss out a lot on this gap year. The gap year was the most formidable year for me. I took a gap year between college and dental school, and I was working three jobs. Two lifeguarding jobs, one on the weekend, one on the weeknights. Working for an oral surgeon during the day. I was reading books on finances, listening to Gary Vaynerchuk's podcasts and music producing and traveling, right? That's what you need to do in a gap year. Now, I'm not trying to like say copy my path, but you need to explore all avenues and everything. And guess what? There will be time to study for that CBSE later on. There won't be time to go travel to Alaska, to go on that ski trip, to see your grandmother who's got cancer, whatever it may be, right? That's what you need to do right now. You need to read that book that you're never going to have time to read for. Say you do 4 years of dental school and then 6 years of an oral surgery residency. That's 10 years. You're not going to be reading a book on like, religion or like practicing how learning how to play the instrument or learning a new language in the midst of all that, right? I want you to explore you. I want you to take that time. You just finished college, right? Or you're in your last year. Like, go do your thing. Don't worry about the CBSE yet. Second, that's my first point, right? That is number one. That is all you need to know. Number two, whatever you study now for that CBSE, it's going to go in 1 year and 10%, 90% is going to go out the other. You're going to retain like 10, 20% tops. You're not going to get the score you need to apply to oral surgery residency with that. The learning and the rigorous study habits that you learn during dental school, that's what you need in order to absorb what you need to absorb and ultimately perform well on that exam. So you're not going to get the score you need until dental school anyway. So I don't want you to be twisting your, turning your wheels and not getting anywhere. Okay. So those are my two points there. All right. Think about that. Do what you want to do. I do. I appreciate, you're really thinking ahead. And very few people, I've heard that question before, but few people are trying to put into play. I wouldn't put into play though. I would really kind of explore all avenues, step out of the box of that this educational system puts us in and go do the things in life that you actually have in that gap year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much, Doc. I'm definitely going to consider a lot of that information.
I wouldn't just don't waste time studying, man. Don't like if you're gonna do it, there's things to do, right? But like go meet another oral surgeon, go shadow another oral surgeon, go meet another dent, you know what I mean? Like that's the stuff you can't do. You could sit in your room till the cows come home during dental school studying, and you will. Don't do that now, right? I'm sure everyone, look at everyone in this chat. Is everyone shaking their heads? Yes? Would everyone agree? Would you study in your gap year? No one's gonna study in the gap year, okay? Think about that, okay, Aaron? Who's next?
Okay.
We got 32 minutes. Let's get it. Do we get a full hour on this, guys, or Ali, do we get?
I think we can go beyond.
Okay,
Yes,
okay. Yeah,
unlimited.
I
Yeah,
got you.
because as
Yeah,
much
we'll
as time.
go. Let's keep going.
Oh,
Who's up?
Ellie, did you want to go next?
You can go, Ollie.
All right, so we're kind of like backtracking to about 4 and a half years ago when you first started. How was your transition going from dental school to residency, and how was your PGY 1 year? How busy was your schedule?
Okay. So two questions. I'll go right into it. Starting off right off the bat, there was no welcome week. Remember welcome week? No, there's none of that. There's no holding your hand. There's no spoon feeding. No. It's you don't know how to swim, right? All right. Well, there's the pool. Go figure it out. That's kind of how it is. All right. Sometimes you'll have many times in the first couple of weeks, you'll have an upper level resident kind of like, this is the suture you use. This is how you want it to look. All right. And then they check over your work. They tell you how bad it looks. And then the next time you do it, you show them again. They're like a little bit better. And then that's really kind of how it goes, unfortunately, right? But another thing is that's literally the reality of residency. It's like you just there's so much work to do. There's so much no one has time to sit down and kind of right. So that's the start of it. You have the materials you need to learn. You have presentations, you have books, you have textbooks, you have YouTube, you have the AO reference website. So there are references out there to use, right? Next question was the first year, yeah, intern year. Oh man, this is a big can of worms. I'll try and summarize it quickly for you. The first month I was on oral surgery service as a 4 year, and then for 5 months I went into my anesthesia rotation. One of the top rotations, like relaxed. There wasn't much call, almost like no call. You go in at it was like 7:30, and then you get out by 4. That was amazing. That was the best time, one of the best times in residency. But then I got back, and so this is my intern year, my first year. And so first month is tough, right? It's good, but you're like you got the adrenaline, you're ready, you're excited. First month, then 5 months of easy, and then I came back, and then we had just lost our PA who would handle with like OR coordination. I was the only intern on service now, where we had three of us in our first month. Now I'm the only one, and this was still COVID times. I had to call patients 3 to 5 days to let them know you had to get your COVID test before you even go to the OR. And no one wanted, it was a city hospital, right? Like people were only going there because they could get free stuff, like free treatment. Not all the time, but like no one wanted to go get a COVID test. I don't blame them. But then I would get yelled at for the patient not getting the COVID test. I'm like, dude, I called them. Like, what do you want me to do? And then the second year, so I was on call twice a week, every Sunday. We would get 1 weekend off. So this is like the real intern part, this 6 months. It was the second half of my first year. I would work 6 days a week, two 24-hour calls a week. There was no post call. So every time, so I would be on call Sunday and then either like Wednesday or Thursday. overnight and then working the entire next day. So I would start at like 7 a.m. on Sunday morning and then work all the way through the night and then all the way through Monday. And then you go home that night and you come back in on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Wednesday, same thing, overnight, everything. And then Friday night, I would go home. I would finally have a full day off the next day. That'd be Saturday. And then you'd have one full weekend off a month. That was that. Second year, we started to get post-call. They also changed the program where this is all like intricacies of the program, but essentially the 6-year residents, two of them, they changed the program. So they would go into medical school earlier. So for another 2 years, we were down another two and then four residents while those years recirculated. So what happens when you lose another two younger residents? Well, the upper level residents have to do more call. So I basically had 2 years. My second year was basically an intern year again. And then my third year was basically like a second year level call again. And finally, my chief year, it was like a chief year, but so that's how it was. I guess what's the moral of the story here is there's going to be unique, specific things to every program, no matter where you go. It's going to suck a lot of times. Some guy reached out to me randomly. This is 3 months ago. And he was saying, hey, I'm at a program. We're really having a tough combat. I can't even talk to anyone here. I just shot in a whim. I feel like you're easy to talk to. I just want to. And so I was talking through with him for a while, like how his time of residency was. He couldn't talk to anyone. And I just want to help. But it's going to be tough at times. It's going to be really tough, especially if you're at a place that doesn't get post call. You're not even going to have time to think things through just to kind of like solve the problems that you accumulate in your head over the day. And that's something that you just have to figure out how to deal with. I really would think, in addition to all the studying strategies and techniques that you learn through dental school, really think of how you kind of relax, wind down, whether it be exercise. That's my favorite one. Some people in dental school, I know, like to cook. They like to just block out half hour, 45 minutes, whatever, an hour, and just cook, make a nice healthy meal. I think it's great playing an instrument at the end of the day. I've heard people doing that. Spending time with your family, right? That was with your kid over there. So I really think about these things because when things are hard in residency, these are what you rely on during those tough times, right? So what do you think, Ali? Is there anything I missed there? Anything I didn't touch on? Another question?
No, I think you answered it perfectly. No, thank you so much. We can have Ellie or Lane.
Yeah, kind of like off on that. I know this question doesn't apply to everybody, but did you know anyone who had a family in residency, and like, how did they, or how would you recommend balancing that life? Because I know everyone says that's always really busy. You barely have time even for yourself. So how would, if I got into residency, how would I try to balance that life?
It's tough, unfortunately. And I'm going to give you from what I observed, because I didn't do this, so I can't tell you from my experiences, right? But what I observed is that there was a heavy reliance on their significant other, their husband, their wife, their parents, perhaps, right? The grandparents of the child through residency. You have an utmost prioritized focus, and it's tough because it's your kid, right? But your responsibilities of residency. Being early going in, staying late on call. Some days you have to stay hours and hours and hours later in residency. You have an emergency, got to take them to the OR to drain an infection or do a mandible fracture, whatever it may be. You're not coming home. You might not be home tonight. You might not make it home tomorrow. Like that's something where you unfortunately have to kind of make sure that your significant other can understand that you just might not be in the equation for some days. I've asked a number of people. There were multiple people in my residency that had kids. Yeah. They would mostly do it on their medical school rotations, right? Because when they were on oral surgery service, they couldn't leave. But on the medical rotation, it's like, oh my God, there's this thing, and you're not like their like primary focus because there are other medical students or other residents. Some of them would get away with like that. But yeah, that would be my take. It's tough. It's not easy. You have to completely rely on them to put all the responsibility on their shoulders with the family, And maybe they already are, like maybe they do your laundry, maybe they cook for you, maybe they and they probably, Obviously, everyone wants to be appreciated. There's going to be a lot more coming in residency.
Thank you.
We got Ellie, we got Masa, we got Bavik.
Hi, Dr. Gallagher.
Hey, Ellie, what's going on?
I just had a
You
quick
good?
question. I was wondering if at any point during dental school you had taken like a CE course that you felt like was worthwhile, that maybe helped prepare you for your residency, or maybe if you took one in residency too that you thought was something to look into or something that you would recommend taking.
Not a CE course, not that I know of. Not that I know of. I see a lot of people thinking that these CEU courses can replace a residency experience. That can be scary. I was just talking about it with Dr. Barshi, and yeah, these weekend CE courses that give you like a licensure for conscious sedation or light sedate, whatever it may be. I don't know if that's the safest way to go. And I know a lot of people are doing it. I get it. We got to pay the bills, and insurance companies aren't reimbursing what they need to be for people to keep the practices open. But patients come first, right? You need patient safety. And, you know, if you haven't seen a laryngospasm and know how to manage it, you can read about a laryngospasm until the cows come home. But if you haven't managed that, a patient's life could be in jeopardy. So, yeah, these CEO courses, nothing really is going to prepare you. I mean, you guys, how many times have you gone to BLS classes and the you got ACLS and then you have PALS, that's a pediatric advanced life support. You have to take those through residency. Does it prepare you or like help you through residency? No, I don't think so. But that's something that you have to take time and time again. It could just get easier for you. I wouldn't recommend go doing that before residency, but I wouldn't look at a CE like that. This is going to help me get a step into residency. You know what I mean? It's two separate things. Very different.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You got it. How about Masa? How about Bavik or Stephanie? Yeah. Hey, Masa.
Hi, Dr. Gallagher. Thank you for being here. My question was about backtracking to the CBSE. Like, I know you said you took it three times, but did you take your last attempt during your fourth year? And how much time did you spend studying for it? And what were your studying methods? Like, how did you really prepare for it? What resources did you use?
Yeah, I want you to look up this YouTube video. A couple things. You got a couple layers to that question there, a couple levels, right? On YouTube, look up CBSE dissection. This is a video. So you're asking about what to study and how to study for the CBSE, right? This CBSE dissection, I made this a year and a half with Brandon Axelrod. He's a current resident at Cornell in Manhattan. I kind of mentored him through his dental school time, and I was in residency. And I even mentored him as a pre-dem, to be honest. We sat down for however long. You can put on 2x speed, listen to it as however long you want. But we go into what materials you need to study now, currently. Because I studied different materials. A couple. It was like Boards and Beyond and a couple others. We no longer recommend Boards and Beyond, and we recommend boot camp. Recommend same thing, UWorld, First Aid, Pathoma. No Boards and Beyond now, though. We're doing boot camp instead, and AMBOSS as well. AMBOSS is another QBank in addition to UWorld that we're recommending. And I've gotten so much feedback on this little video. I'm telling you, people have taken for the second, third, fourth times, and they said they significantly scored better. They get the scores they need. I want you to get the score you need, okay? Listen to this, but follow this to the T, okay? Don't try to, like, I really recommend this because everyone's told me it's helped, right? And it's updated too. It's not like me giving my recommendations on what I did for the CBC in 2020. That's when I took it. It was D3 by the year, by the way, Masa, because at the end of D3 going into D4 year, that's when you put in the application to residency, right? So the last time you could possibly take it, unless you're going to take like space years, gap years or whatnot, it would be the summer after D3 year, right before D4 year. But that's really kind of last licks. And at that point, you're technically handing in your application a little bit later because you're waiting for that score to, right? So if you can, not everyone can, but plan for the last time to actually take it would be in the middle of D3 year. Okay. And that's when I took it, was in the middle. All right. Does that make sense, Masa?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Just to give you an outline, when did I take the CBSE? So I said three times. First time I took it after D1 year, I didn't really study for it. I didn't know what I was doing. It's a totally different exam from anything you take in dental school. It's different. It's a medical school board based exam. It's based on step one, right? It's 200 questions. It's four blocks of 50 questions. It's 5.5 hours. I forget everything else after that. But second time I took it was after D2 year. So after D1 year, then I studied for it, took it after D2 year. I got a score I could apply with, but not the one I wanted, not a great score, something I could apply with, though. And then after D, in the middle of D3 year, so 6 months later, I took it again. I still didn't get the score I wanted. You feel like you never get the score you want. But I got a score I needed that I could like get interviews with. And I ended up getting 14 or 15 interviews. It was fine. But yeah, so.
Thank you.
You got it. Who's next? Who's up?
Awesome. Thank you for sharing some time with us, Dr. Gallagher. I had a question regarding the few hours that you may have as a potential OMFS resident. Obviously, one of the sacrifices you make as a resident may be finances, you know, the trade-offs with going in as a general dentist versus being a resident. Is it a possibility or have you had some of your colleagues do any type of like moonlighting?
Or like, yeah.
And
yeah,
what's your take on that?
Yes. Yeah. I know a lot of colleagues that moonlight. It's also certain programs really encourage it. My program said, no, you cannot moonlight. And I still knew people that moonlighted, that would moonlight at my program. My thing was, I have like side companies and businesses in the background. Like we created the pre-dent mentor map. That's a free service for pre-dental students to get some insight on like match stats and statistics and DAT scores and tuition statements up to date on all the dental schools in the United States. But that was my kind of like moonlighting, if you will. And that's completely allowed. It's remote. Could I moonlight? Yes. But with my program, think about that. The first 2 years, many times working 6 days a week. That one weekend off, I'm not going to go moonlight. I'm not going to go into an office. And a lot of those times, you know, I would spend, I always, every morning I work. I do work before I go into work. Weekends, I work every morning. I put up posts and stuff. I communicate. I respond to DMs and stuff. It's busy. I love it though. I want to help, you know? You can moonlight. I would just think about you're going to be exhausted. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be catching up on sleep. You're going to finally see your girlfriend or boyfriend, your significant other, your wife, your kids. You're really going to want to be getting up, waving at them goodbye, and then going to another office that's like, I mean, you could do it, right? And I understand the expenses. You were saying you started off by asking, you know, the financial commitment because you're not making money necessarily. You're not making enough money in residency. Let's be honest, right? 65,000, whatever it is, to 80,000 a year. You'd be making more of that as a general dentist, but you're going to be making so much more within the first 4 to 5 years after graduating residency that will make up for those 4 to 6 years missed, right? And I understand the interest and like loans tack on. Just I wouldn't worry about that. I wouldn't compare that. Does that help?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Moonlighting can be great. You can make a ton of money on it, but you just have to see your personal situation. It didn't make sense for me. It didn't. And it does make sense for some other people. Most of them were single, right? They didn't have weekends to go and hang out with the significant other. And the ones that were in relationships didn't do it, that I know, right? But it's going to be different for the pro. What, say you don't get, you get, say you get into a different program. Whatever program you have to weigh, you have to understand your self-awareness to say, can I take the time to do this? And then do I want to, or do I need to take time for myself now? It's going to be up to you. Everyone's different. You're going to have, you might have more or less time depending on what program you go to. You see what I'm saying? It's going to be a personal decision. Yep. Who's up? Who's up?
Sir, I have a quick question just going off of Bobik's question. I'm wondering, how did you manage your dental school loans while you were in residency? Did you have to defer, or did you start paying small chunks as you were getting your earnings?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. We live in a time where most people do have loans, right? And whenever there's a group of categories where there's someone in a smaller group, a minority group, whatever it is, I'm not making this political, but the less common thing tends to get point fingers at. So I was very fortunate, you know, my parents helped me out with tuition and everything. I also found that other people in dental school would say things behind your back when they find out that, oh, so and so doesn't have loans. So I'm letting you know from my experiences, if you do or don't have loans, I would just, the money situation is very tough, no matter what stage you are in life. And I'm still learning about these things, right? Talking about what treatment costs and what percent we get reimbursed. And I'm finding that other providers don't want us to be talked about. The only way we fight back against insurance companies is to talk about these problems in a realistic manner, right? And brainstorm solutions. That being said, in dental school, just be careful because not everyone's your best friend. Unfortunately, you want the best for everyone, yes, but some people don't want that for you. And I noticed you got to be careful with that. So I don't have the best answer. I'm not going to try and fake an answer. I don't know about the loan deferment. I don't know. No, you're not going to be paying stuff back in residency. I can tell you that. You do not make enough money. Let me give you an example from my experience. Right, regardless of loans, I would make 69,000 my first year after taxes. That was roughly, what is it, like 40 or something. My rent was 34,000, and that was with the COVID discount. That COVID discount went away after 2 years. That was with the COVID discount. It was 34,000, and that leaves 11,000 for my entire rest of the year: groceries, traveling, everything, paying for what license, whatever comes up. You're not, and that wasn't enough, right? Because I figured out it came out to like 1,100 a month for groceries and all those things. Anyway, so I was negative the first 2 years, as you can see. You're not going to be able to pay those things back. You need to be very wise with your financial situation and loans. Wouldn't be, it's never too early to start talking to a financial advisor. Someone who's like not paying you for a session. I'm talking about with your family, your significant other. They need to be on your team. They need to know what the situation is. And you need to have a realistic plan for what that's going to look like. Come after, during residency, it's like things are going to be paused. You're not going to, unless you are moonlighting. But remember that moonlighting comes with a cost. You need that time to yourself once in a while. Time for your wife, who you didn't see all week. Time for your kids, who you didn't see all month because maybe they go to daycare. Things like that. All right. The loan situation is very, very difficult, and it's changing. I don't know if it's changing for better or for worse. I have no idea. Yeah, it's very tough. I know. The biggest thing is that you have to be confident that if you can find the right specialty or the right job or the right mentor at that job, regardless of what the job is, you need to be confident that you will pay that back. If you could be excited to go into work every day, you're going to start to do more, see more patients, do more procedures. You're going to work another hour, work another day. Those loans will get paid back. But you need to be realistic about how much is getting tacked on before you look. And here's another thing. I know that I'm not trying to make this a rant. I see a lot of people picking the job based off of how much money they can make at that job because of how much loans they have. And I see a lot of people, they just like, oh, it's a drop in the bucket. It's a drop in the bucket. Yeah, well, that bucket, you know, buckets become full once in a while and they spill. Don't pick a job for the financial motives or incentives, right? You need to pick a job, I would say, number one, for the mentor. Whoever mentors you is going to change the game in every way. Motivating your, how you work, what you do at work, how you treat patients, how you manage yourself around patients, everything. Mentors, number one. Number two is going to be, I mean, location. How many locations do you want to work at? You want to work every, you want to drive another hour to a different place every day of the week? Probably not. That's something to think about. The organization you sign with, DSO versus private practice. Private practice, you might be making a little bit less money to start. But if there's a potential partnership opportunity, the ceiling of what your earning potential is going to be so much higher ever than will be at a DSO. DSO, you're going to start at a higher floor salary. The roof, the ceiling salary is never going to be, match that as a private practice or as an owner, okay? I don't care how much equity they pretend to throw at you. That equity is like a pizza pie. That slice gets bigger or smaller depending on how many practices they buy or sell that year. And you can't track that. And I'm going to give you a little tip too. I have a lot of friends in investment banking. Investment bankers, the private equity funds that own these DSOs, there's always a kicker that they have where, I'm just giving you like these DSOs are trapping them. I'm just another little hint. There are kickers where they say, once you sign or like after you work X number, like 3 years, you get this much, this many shares. And this shares will equate to like a couple $100,000, right? And they'll say you can take it out after another 5 years. So now you're like, oh, another 5 years, I'm out. But what do they do after another 3 years? They give you another big package. That might be even more. And they say, yay, you take it out after 5 years. And then 3 years go by and then you see what I mean? It's a vicious cycle. So they lock you in the restrictive covenant. I don't know if you guys looked into that yet, but so anyway, you guys are in dental school. I know I want to make it applicable to you. I'm just trying to give you as much information you need to know to make the right decisions. Because I want to see you make the right decisions, not for anything or someone else, for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your honest answer.
Yeah.
I had a question regarding the CBSC. As a current D1, this is a very typical question. What would you give yourself, any advice you'd give yourself as a D1 again? Because you did say you studied for it during your D1. Would you recommend I study for it, or would you recommend I prioritize other things, like should I start doing research early on or wait till like the later third or fourth year?
Great question. CBSC first, externship second, research third. You can do them all at the same time. If you have straight A's, you're getting 99s and above on everything, I think it's time to start studying for that CBSC. If you got all A's, good, do it, go for it. Start studying for that CBSC, see what you can get in. Okay, after you get the CBSC out of the way, then I would look into externships. Maybe it's D2, maybe it's D3, you're fine. The reason why I rank it, and this is just my personal opinion, you can apply all over the country to an oral surgery program. If you have a CBSC and no externships, you can apply. You probably get some interviews, you have a good CBSC. If you have no CBSC and you have 10 externships at the hardest programs in the country, you can't apply. You can apply. You're not going to get an interview. You don't have a CBSC score. You need to hit these requirements. So that's why I say CBSC is number one. Obviously, your grades and everything, right? Number one. Then CBSC. And then I would put externships there. Research is good. It can be great. But if you're struggling with like getting the grades, you know, maybe class rank and then adding on clinic on top of that, and now you got to get that CBSC in, I don't know if it's time to add on research yet. Get that CBSC out of the way and then do externships. The magic number is about 3-ish, right? If you could do more. Try and hit 3. At reach schools. Okay. That's important. Research is adjunctive, you know, and why do I say that? Because you don't need research to apply. You don't need externships to apply, but research at my 14 or 15 years, whatever it was, two programs asked me about, I did research in dental school, two programs asked me about research. 8 programs asked me about playing the violin. I'm in the back of my resume. I played the violin, you know, basketball. I started some side companies during COVID in dental school and with my buddy and a wine account and all these things. But playing the violin is what people ask me the most about, more than anything else on my resume, my CV. So take that in consideration, right? Things that make you stand out, things that are unique, things that are different. Keep it going through dental school. That's what's going to help you be remembered on your application process and on that interview. Because rank day is going to come. It might be a month. They might be ranking their applicants weeks later. How are they going to remember you above everyone else? So.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
It comes down to self-awareness. Are you ready to start studying for that yet? You got to get the other things down. If you're bottom in the class, if you're bottom, you need to get up a little bit and don't try not to compare yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy. And it literally is. You know that in dental school. Stay on your own path. Do that. But when to study for the CBSC? Self-awareness. Are you ready for it yet or not? Right? You know the timeline, but you can only add that on when you kind of cleared everything else off the plate or like you can manage everything else on the plate.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's up? So I have another question about the CBSC specifically. So You mentioned that like you took it three times, I think, and until you got the score you needed. So I know you say comparison is the thief of joy and stuff like that, and like don't let the, like if your candle is burning, don't like burn other people's candles. I appreciate that, but like what's considered like a good CBSE score that would get you in, generally speaking, based off statistics, that's something that I should be aiming for to make me like a competitive applicant.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would aim for that 70. Okay. Now I know they've been changing the score in the last 5 years. They've changed this damn score like three times.
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is. I saw your video also
What
with
are they doing?
Axelrod. It was you
Yeah.
guys also mentioned that like they keep changing it. So yeah, I don't know. Like it's very weird.
Yeah, but guess what? You can only just study so much. You need to study everything that you can. You can't pick the score that you're going to get. Yeah, well, I've been studying this much. You just got to do the best you can. Okay. Aim for that 70. Sure. Keep taking it until you get 70, maybe 75 now. I would start low. Not start low. Aim as high as you can possibly go. But if you're saying, like, oh, do I take it again or not? I would say 70-ish, right? Maybe 75. If you get an 80 above, I think you're probably pretty good. You're probably done, more or less, right? If you get to that 75 or more, you're done. 70. It used to be really 70, but now it is getting more competitive. It is. But I still do think in my heart that if you get a 70, you get a solid score. You should be getting interviews. Okay. The fact of the matter is, it's going to depend on your other applications. I know people getting in the 60s, tons of interviews. It depends on the school you come from, probably more than most things. Your CBSE and the school you come from, those two factors are going to matter more than anything else. I don't know what your history of your school is as far as matching into oral surgery programs. But that's going to be very, very influential on your year, on how many people get interviews and match. Okay. Because it's not now, it goes up and down, but generally, the timeline over the years go, it's generally pretty similar. Okay.
Like, what do you mean by like the school you go to? Can you like clarify that a little? Like, the school you go to matters? Because I heard like if you go to an Ivy League versus like not, like it matters. I never knew like now you're saying that. So, but
Yeah.
I just want to know like what's going on. Like, what is that? Like, can you like talk more about that?
Of course, I'll tell you right now. And you could look at this on predemmentormap.org. That's the database we've been collecting. We have like half the schools or more this year, actually, which is a big year. For example, I went to Stony Brook Dental School. Class size of 44. We matched four into oral surgery. 2 years before us, it was five into oral surgery. The year before that, it was four into oral surgery. The year after, it was five into oral surgery. The year after that, I think it was four or five into oral surgery. You see what I mean? And those classes were between 40 and 46 students. NYU, three, four, five, maybe six 1 year, but generally between like two and five match. Do you know how big the class size is at NYU?
300-ish.
400. It's
Damn,
400
that's
students a year
poor.
at NYU. So what are the percentage of how many match into oral surgery or into other specialties, whatever, of the class size? Stony Brook has a pretty good percentage compared to NYU, right? Both in New York, whatever. I'm not trying to compare that like that, but what I'm trying to give you is the history of that program, how the consistency, the how many match into that into a specialty is generally consistent year to year. Now it's not exact, I'm telling you, it goes up, it goes down. One of the years at Stony Brook was only two. Buffalo, they consistently match a lot into pediatric dentistry. Good for them. They do it, you know? That's gonna matter. I don't know what your guys' history is, your stats. Okay. You can't change that though. You know what I mean? You guys are there. So it doesn't really
Yeah.
apply to you too much, but you
Sorry. What's the website that you're talking about?
predentmentormap.org. And we get in touch with students throughout the country at all the dental schools through Students of Dentistry. Students of Dentistry, Elite Dentists, and Top Dental Practices. Those are our Instagram accounts with one like the side.
You guys have any stats about like Touro College of Dental Medicine?
Toro?
Yeah.
I forget if we got Toro. Yeah, of
Really need
course.
some information.
Lee, Jess Lee came from Toro. She got into NUMIC, and then from NUMIC, she's now at Buffalo with Dr. Markowitz. She's an example of a Toro graduate that went into oral surgery. I think she was the first year of graduates at Toro, second year, believe it or not. But yeah, look into these things, guys. Yeah, but back to the CBC, just do the best you possibly can. Keep taking until you get the scores. Guys, another thing about the CBC, something to consider, how many tries do you have to take it? Do you know?
Is it six?
Correct.
Six? Yeah.
Six. That's correct. It's six. If you take it every time, you know, it's only offered twice a year. If you take it every time before you apply, how many times is that?
Six.
Six.
That's eight,
Exactly.
six, yeah.
Exactly. Right. So you should probably be taking it every time. You see what I'm saying? The more you take that exam, the more you know how to study for that exam. That's the answer to that. That's why. That's
Does
it.
it lessen your chances to get in if you take it like two times versus one time and you do well? Like I know like for the DAT and stuff like that, like they look at all your scores and like they
Are you
like each
sure?
school has yeah, like each school has like from what I know, each school has their own like way of doing it. Like some of them just look at your most recent one, some of them average it, some of them look at like both of them and like they weigh both of them differently. So, but for the CBSE, I like this is what I heard about the DAT, but I don't know about like the CBSE, like the
So
same
you
thing.
heard about it. You heard about it for the DAT.
Yeah, I heard about
Are
it.
you
I have no idea
sure?
if it's true. No, I'm not sure.
Isn't it funny how these rumors go around? There's so many rumors in dental school. Guys, this is another point I want to make. None of that happens. They don't see your other DAT scores. They don't have time for that. You know how many thousands of applicants these people get? They have thousands of stacks of application papers on their desk. They're not going, they don't have time to go and look through your other. They don't want to know if you took the DAT. They're looking at one score. It's the score you got and submitted, and it's verified by the NBDE or it's verified by the pass application, right? The oral surgery one. You submit one score and you go with it. All right. They're not looking at how many times they can't see how many times you take it. They're not looking at other scores. This is, but guys, the whole point here is there's so many rumors going around through dental school. Don't get distracted by it. You're not gonna be sleeping for a couple nights with some of the rumors going around at your dental school. I know, I was there. Let it go. Let it go. There's so many rumors. There are people coming over so confident, like, no, you can't have. Here's one I heard. You can't have a letter of recommendation from a periodontist if you're going to apply to an oral surgery program. You think they're going to interview you? I did it. They interviewed me. I got 14 and 15, whatever it was. My guy I did research with, Dr. Georges Romanos at Stony Brook, he's a periodontist. I got interviews. It's fine, okay? Don't listen to all of the rumors. Think it. Definitely listen. Definitely absorb. But be very aware they might be 100% wrong. All right?
God, thank you,
Okay?
man.
Good.
Thank
Yeah,
you,
don't
brother.
fall for all the distractions, all right? You
I
have something to
appreciate
focus on. Your CBSE, for example, right?
it. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it.
You got it. You got it. Makes sense, right? These program directors have, these people are running in between ORs, signing off people's sheets, checking over people's surgeries, looking at people's exams, making sure the orthognathic measurements are correct. And you think they're going to have time to go check over your other CBSE scores?
Hell no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my point. Who's up? Who's
Appreciate it.
up? I got a couple more minutes.
I guess I can go. Dr. Gallagher, you mentioned you had, oh, sorry,
No,
you
go
know,
ahead. Go ahead. It's fine.
you mentioned you had 14, 15 interviews when you were applying. You mentioned you had a personal connection with one of the residents at the place you matched. But what factors do you think are important for, in your opinion, for us to look at when we're looking for programs? Is it like the culture? Is it the case accept, the case volume, things of that? Can you elaborate? Also, a follow-up question, if you don't mind, is a non-categorical year with the competitive climate of OMFS. What are your thoughts on the non-categorical year and the chances that it kind of, gives
Which one you
you
want to start with? Which question you want to start with?
whichever you want to, you have a preference on answering first.
Hold that second thought. I'm going to
Got
show
it.
you. Can you see the right side of my screen right here?
Yes.
Right here, my ranking. So this was the 15, 14 or 15, if this helps. Just give me one second. Okay, so let's go through this. This is my rank. This was my rank list, right? And let's see. So what did I consider first? NYU, Christiana Care, and VCU. These were like, if I matched to one of these programs, the day I woke up and the email goes out, and like, if I matched to one of these programs, I was going to be thrilled. I was going to be happy. There's going to be a point in time, how you have like those random thoughts. You're in the shower, or you're going for a walk on the beach, or whatever it may be. You're walking the dog, and it's like, you get that epiphany. It's like, these three programs were kind of it. I ended up putting NYU number one because my externship there, I was with some really good people. The guy I graduated with, Josh Knuth, he's an oral surgeon now in northern New Jersey, Bergen, New Jersey. And he's one of my best friends. And I spent my externship overnight with him on facial trauma call. And it was just an outstanding experience. It was. Christiana Care, I really got a good vibe with their residents. Their residents would interview the. I'll go through it quick, like why I ranked this way, and maybe you'll get a touch on like your ranking thoughts. Christiana Care, they had their residents have their own separate interview of applicants. I really appreciated that. That means that they consider their residents' opinions highly. I think that's very important for an oral surgery program, especially if you come from a team-minded aspect. VCU, just incredible. Incredible program. Such a good implant experience. They have their own like implant clinic where they're doing all LNXs. They have a implant placing specialist that comes in for private practice like a couple days a week and does stuff from there. Such good teamwork there. Great camaraderie. They go and have beers and stuff. I love that. That's great. Numic. Very tough. One resident a year. Awesome attendings. Awesome attendings. Very good people. I don't know how close-knit it is. They only have four people. So someone's always on call at sometimes, right? It's very tough, very rigorous. Closer to home for me, because I'm from Long Island, Newbix on Long Island. But one year resident a year, 4 year program, that's tough, right? Closer to home and whatnot. Montefiore, I really liked. One of the top six programs, I think, on the East Coast for dental alveolar oral surgery, right? They take five residents a year. I think they take five non-cats a year too. Very big program. Sometimes a little cutthroat. I don't like that, but great program. Excellent. They place so many implants, more than one of the most implant placing programs. Excellent experience. They know everything. They're sharp as a tack. Great attendings, but sometimes the culture there can get a little feisty. In addition, when I applied there, the reason why I ranked them so low, when I applied there, it was like of 20 years, they let go 9 residents. They had reasons to let them go, I'm sure, right? But the fact of the matter, that's 9 residents that left. I didn't really want to go to a program where I had a fire under my ass. I light my own fire under my ass. I follow a direction that I need to go in, and it's going to be with good reason. I'm not like trying to cut corners or anything. No, I didn't like that. I don't need to be going in every day wondering if I'm going to get come back the next year. Make sense? Right. Oklahoma, oh, powerhouse program. I ended up bringing it a little bit later because it's out there in Oklahoma. I've never been over there. It looked great. I mean, their residents had their own social too, and they're all drinking beers, hanging out. I love that, you know? But the interview was very intimidating too. They had a table with, it was COVID, right? So interviews are mostly in person now. But at the time, they had a huge table. Every attending and resident was in this room. It was like 25 people in this room. They had a big, huge table with like 16 attendings sitting around it. And there was a camera in the middle. And it was everyone firing questions at you on the interview. So the camera would turn and you'd see on the back wall, on all four walls, there were these projectors with your face on it. That was your camera. And the camera would turn to face the attending that was asking you the question at the time. And then you'd answer their question, and then someone else would hit the button, and then the camera would turn and you'd see your face on the walls, and they would go on the other one. And now that is high stress, high level environment. I loved it. I thought the interview went great. I was like, I don't know, this is ridiculous that they're doing this, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm doing okay compared to some other applicants. So I'm like, I'm loving it. Brookdale, good program. New York Medical College, Temple's was a 4 year, Houston was a 4 year, all good. LIJ is like the Stony Brook combined program, and I just didn't want to go to residency there, being that I came from that. I saw enough, you know, Brooklyn Hospital, Woodhull, Kings County, and then as you can see here, I ranked all the 6 years last. I didn't want to do a 6 year. So that I feel like I was trying to give some insight to that from just from my personal opinion. Now you get an idea of like how you're going to think about rankings, like location. Here's another thing I didn't mention. LIJ, they cover a bunch of different, a handful of hospitals throughout Long Island. They have a difference of 1.5 to 2 hours between the two furthest ends. Lenox Hill in Manhattan to Stony Brook all the way out on Long Island. That's 1.5 to 2 hours away. 2 hours, it's 2 hours away. Could you be in a man? I don't know how they handle call and everything, but the fact of the matter is you're going to be driving around a lot when you're on call, and that can be dangerous. You haven't slept all night the night before, or whatever it is, right? You haven't slept. You're starving. You're still thinking about something that happened in the day. Maybe your chief's yelling at you. Maybe you're going home, maybe you're going to one hospital, you're getting paged, you got to go see this. That just sounds to the point where it's dangerous to me. You know what I mean? And God forbid there was a resident at Numic. Now, I don't know what the situation was. I don't know what the circumstances. I'm not trying to say that, but there was a resident who had passed away. I don't know what, again, I don't know what the circumstance was, but here I do know the circumstance. There was a guy getting off of a post call. You guys know the Instagram account, Omax Face? Omax Face, well, anyway, you can look up, but he was a 6 year resident at a program. But nonetheless, I had him on the podcast. He was talking about how he actually got a car accident. He was in the ICU for a week or two because he was leaving. He fell asleep at the wheel leaving the hospital after the next day after being po not being post call, right? They didn't, whatever it was. So fell asleep at the wheel, hit a guardrail, was in the ICU. Dangerous. You do need to take your health into account, right? Your well-being. There are other programs that you could apply to. I didn't want to be driving around being preoccupied, being distracted, low in sleep, hungry. You need to be attentive during things like that, right? At NYU, I never had to drive. That was great. So just something to consider. Okay. So I think that's like applicable stuff for all the, does that help? I know it's a lot. I know it's a lot, but like I'm trying to give you guys as much value from just what I remember my experiences.
And then I think we can wrap it up with the last question from Aaron.
Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to see what specifically you thought about going to a specific dental school increases your chances. Like, is it because of the opportunities that they give you or just the recognition from oral surgery residency programs?
And clinical experience. I would say all the above. It's going to be a plethora of all the above and just the history of matching students year after year. If these students match year after year at different programs, some program directors know other program directors. If they have consistently strong students from certain dental schools, they're probably going to keep taking students from those dental schools, right? So that kind of develops that history of the program year after year. But yeah, certain programs have better clinical experience. Clinical experience does translate into certain oral surgery hands-on things, right? Better educated students at certain institutions are, everyone's educated great. I know that's not what I'm saying, but like certain institutions that kind of focus more of a surgical aspect or a medical aspect, maybe they're combined with the medical school, for example, for a year or two. These all might aid in, you know, increasing match placement year after year to gain that history of a program, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Anything else? I got to start getting ready for tomorrow. Guys, thanks so much for coming out. I know it's late. I know you guys are tired, long day, but you guys are doing it, okay? Don't let any one thing in dental school stress you out too much, okay? There's always another exam. There's always another year. There's always another next week. Make sure you take your time for yourself. I know another little tip. Through residency, I figured this out. I'm like, Fridays, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hang out. I'm going to open up a beer or a couple beers. I'm going to see friends and family. That's your night, or at least for me, that was my night. You know what I mean? And look forward to that. But also don't cut yourself short. If you miss out on that one time that you usually have yourself, then that, like, you still, you didn't get a chance to unwind. You're still kind of tense and stressed. Take that time for yourself. A little bit every day, a little bit every week.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gallagher, for making yourself available tonight. Thank you for all the valuable information. I'm sure everybody enjoyed. And
thank you. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
Any questions? Do the next. Anything that comes up? Send me a DM on Instagram, okay? That's I'm like 5 weeks behind on Instagram right now. I'm sorry about that because I have boards in February. But I promise I will eventually get to it. I want to be accessible and help you guys out, all right? Thanks for hanging out tonight, and good luck this year.
Thank you.
Laura Boards.
Thank you. All right, guys. We'll talk soon. Get me on Instagram and we'll chat. All right.